Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Which I think was his biggest joy in life, was fishing. So whenever he could, my grandfather would grab his fishing pole and his bait, and we would walk down to the nearby river. When he would get there, he would put the bait on his hook, he would cast it out over the river, and he would wait. I think he liked that moment of waiting, just that quiet moment that there was there. Eventually, a fish would swim up who would notice the bait, but he wouldn't notice the hook or the string that it was attached to. The fish would bite onto that bait. My grandfather would yank on that pole, and then he would hook the fish and reel him in for dinner. See, the fish learned the hard way that some things come with hashtag strings attached. And we can think of lots of things with strings attached, can't we? But when we don't take it literally, that there's even more things that can apply to. Have you ever heard of something called multi-level marketing? I know it's big in the U.S., and I've seen some of that here in Tanzania. Basically, a person hosts a party in their home. They invite their friends, and they come to review something or sample something by a sales representative for a company. And there are different companies that sell everything. You've got companies that sell essential oils. That's really big in the U.S. Things like health products or kitchen gadgets or jewelry. You can buy, there's one company that pretty much just sells leggings, like tights. That's all that they sell. But people host these parties to sell them. They almost always offer an alluring incentive to receive a large discount or even free products. And we all like free products, don't we? But there is a catch. To get those free products, you have to sign up to either host a party or to become a sales representative yourself. Because the biggest payoff for the sales rep isn't really what they sell, but it's in recruiting other people to sell. So these discounts or these free items come with an expectation, or you would say, hashtag, strings attached. And strings attached essentially means there's an expectation in return for what you are getting. We all like the idea of getting something for free, but when we hear there's a string attached, our brains automatically assume that it's something negative. But strings attached doesn't always have to mean something bad. So let's say your company pays for you to take a certain training course for work. There's usually a string attached, isn't it, that you will continue to work for this company for maybe a certain length of time if they're going to pay for you to take these courses. But that string attached also comes typically with maybe a pay increase or extra job security or the possibility even for an advancement in the company because you've taken that training course. It makes you more valuable to your employer. See, and our faith also comes with strings attached. If you read through the Bible, most of God's promises are if-then promises. If we do this, then God will do that. Many blessings and promises of God are conditional or hashtag strings attached. So we're going to take a look in 1 Samuel. If you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to look at the story of Hannah, and who found herself in a strings attached situation. And we're going to take a look at her story today. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse number 1. I'll give you a moment to get there. We'll also have it up on the screen. So starting in verse 1, it says, "There was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Paniah. And Paniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penaiah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" You know, I love Elkanah's confidence as a husband, don't you? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? And Elkanah actually proved to be a devoted and loving husband to Hannah. But that was also a source of a lot of her grief, because Elkanah's other wife, Penaiah, was not kind to Hannah. Hannah was Elkanah's favored wife, but she never provided an heir, which was turned into a source of shame in that culture. And Penaiah never let Hannah forget this. Hannah faced heartache and struggle. Hashtag, the struggle is real. And life hasn't changed, has it? Struggles were real then, and struggles are real now. Is that right? Yeah. I doubt anyone here has a second wife to deal with, but some of you have an ex-wife or an ex-husband, and they may be a source of struggle in your life. Some of you are out of work, and no doors seem to be opening. Some of you are studying as hard as you can, but you're not making the grades that you need to get the scholarships that you need to be in school. Some of you have an unexpected medical debt that seems just impossible to erase. And some of you have a medical diagnosis, and it feels like there may never be a cure. When it comes to life, hashtag the struggles are real. Let's continue on with our Bible story and see what Hannah did about her struggle. So we're going to look at verse 9. It says, "After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting at the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, and will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.' As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said, 'How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered, 'No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation.' And then Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him.' And she said, 'Let your servant find favor in your eyes.' And then the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." So we're talking about Hannah is not able to get pregnant. She has been trying for years. And I'm sure there were folk remedies back then, drink this tea or eat this herb. And I'm sure Hannah tried all of that. And we have fertility clinics now that we can go to if we're having problems. But there were no fertility clinics in her home of Ephraim or anywhere in the world. But honestly, even if there had been a fertility clinic, it wouldn't have mattered. Because when we read above, what we read was that the Lord closed her womb. God had his reasons for Hannah to not be pregnant. No cure or solution of man would ever be enough. So Hannah did the only thing that she could do. And she, as she said, was pouring out her soul before the Lord. Hannah took time to hashtag seek God. See, even when we think there are human solutions to our struggles, we must first seek God, for he is really all that we need. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's Jehovah Magen, our shield and protector. He's Jehovah Rophi, our shepherd. He's Jehovah Uzi, who is our strength. Why would we ever want to do it alone, right? When we have a God who is all of this and so much more. Hashtag seek God. The next verse in our story shows God's answer to Hannah. Verse 20 says, "And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord." Hannah received her answer after her time of seeking God. God heard her prayer because, hashtag, God hears. Now you may be thinking that God heard Hannah, but you've been praying and praying and seeking and praying, and you haven't gotten the answer to your prayer yet. Anybody feel like that sometimes? Let me remind you that while God always hears our prayers, sometimes his answer is not what we want or expect, right? Sometimes the answer is yes, and he provides that answer. Sometimes the answer is no. It's not what we want to hear, but it might be what we need. And sometimes the answer is wait. So while it's not always easy to be in that season of waiting, God's will is always the best will. We can't always see the other factors or the possible outcomes, but God sees it all. And he is doing and working for what is best for his kingdom and for his glory. God hears you, and he will answer you, because hashtag God hears. Hannah's story doesn't end there. Let's continue on in verse 21. It says, "The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go, for she said to her husband, 'As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever.' Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word.' So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him with her, along with 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord.' And he," talking about Samuel, "worshiped the Lord there." Hannah received her blessing, the son that she had prayed so earnestly for. And then she did the most amazing thing, and she gave her son back to God. Hannah used her blessing to hashtag serve God. There's another story in the New Testament that's a little bit shorter, but it's a very similar story. In Luke chapter 4, 38 and 39, it says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them." Hannah and Simon's mother-in-law both received the answer to their prayer, and in turn they used it to hashtag serve God. Was it easy for them? I'm sure it was easy for Simon's mother-in-law. She had been feeling unwell. Now she felt well. She felt good. She felt energized. I am sure it was just natural for her to want to serve the Jesus who healed her. But for Hannah, I would imagine that had to be a lot harder because she had desired a baby of her own for many, many years. And once he was weaned, so he was still young, once he was weaned, she handed him over to God to serve God. What have you done with the gifts and the blessings that God has given to you? See, God gives talents and he gives spiritual gifts. Some of these things are given to us naturally. We're born with those talents that God gives us. Some he gives us spiritually as we grow in faith. Are these gifts in your life being used for his kingdom work? This past week, I was blessed to be in Dodoma with the Tanzanian Assemblies of God for their general council meetings. 6,000, can you imagine? TAG pastors gathered together for some business, some voting, and some time of worship and spiritual refreshment. It was a powerful week, wasn't it, Effie? It was a powerful week. I was challenged and I was encouraged. One of the speakers who came was a man named Johannes Emritzer. He's an evangelist out of Austria who spends most of his year, for the last 30 years, traveling all over the continent of Africa, sharing the gospel through crusades. He was telling us that he was really born with a gift for storytelling. He can take a story and he can immediately get you engaged. It's very much part of their culture where he's from. But when God saved him, God added to that gift for storytelling. He added an ability to make each story a parable and to be able to teach people and use that to show the saving grace of Jesus. It's an amazing gift that he has, and he uses it to serve God. He blessed Johannes, and Johannes now hashtag serves God. We have some amazing people here at the Ocean Church who also have a gift for evangelism. They can't help but talk about the gospel and the saving grace of Jesus. We have a prison ministry who 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago or so went to the Segarea prison. And while they were there, the gospel was shared. We had six people in that prison who received Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. God is using their spiritual gift of evangelism to share Jesus. We're all called to share the gospel, aren't we? But there are some people that just find it easier. They're compelled to. They can't hold it back. And that's the spiritual gift of evangelism. We have people in this church with many different gifts and talents. Some are born with it. If you read in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, if you're not sure what spiritual gift you might have, check out one of those two books, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. It may help you discover what spiritual gifts God has blessed you with. Usually they're things that come naturally to us that we think everybody can do, but they're really not. And if you talk to other people, they say, no, I'm not comfortable with that. You have a special gift for that. Our worship team has many very talented musicians and singers. Our future generation team has people who are gifted with that ability for storytelling to share stories of Jesus with our children. Our hospitality ministry has people with the gift of serving. One gift that God has given me is a gift of knowledge to see the spiritual gifts in other people. He's given me this gift of encouragement as well so that I can walk beside them, sometimes push them a little, as some of you know, to use their gifts for the kingdom. That God didn't give me a gift for teaching, but he has helped me be able to see that gift in other people so that I can help train them up and prepare them to work in our discipleship ministry. Aren't you blessed by our discipleship ministry at the Ocean? We have so many amazing teachers at the Ocean. When we follow God, he will give us gifts and he will give us callings. Those gifts may be to help us in other areas, like teaching. Teaching you can use here, but you can also use it out in the world to make money. But the main purpose behind those gifts is to glorify God in his kingdom. Psalm 67, 1 to 2 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. God blesses us so that our blessings will make him known. Are you using your gifts and your blessings to hashtag serve God? So this next part, the last part of Hannah's story, is the one that absolutely amazes me, even more than her giving her son away. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our rock." And she goes on for the next several verses through verse 10, just praising God, talking about who he is and how good he is. But not only did Hannah do the hard thing and give her blessing back to God, do you notice here that after she gave her blessing, she thanked and praised God? She did this hashtag for God's glory. Let me ask you, when was the last time you thanked God when you gave him something? Have you ever done that? Or do you give with the expectation that you're the one who should be thanked and praised? Kind of makes you stop and think about our motives for giving to God, doesn't it? At worship night, we had prayed this past couple of weeks ago for those who are seeking to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some received that infilling, but do you know there were strings attached to that infilling? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given for a purpose, and we can find that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I love that recently the Ocean Church has been just pressing in deeper and deeper. We've been seeking him. We've been trying to remove the distractions that distract us from him. We've been stretching ourselves to walk in obedience. We have to keep pressing in, church. We have to keep throwing off those things that are holding us back from pursuing him and giving him everything that we have. And once God gives you something, we have to use it. Hashtag for God's glory. One Oceanite came to me last week and said that God was speaking to her through the service and that he was telling her he wants more from her in the ministry where she's serving. And she came to tell me because she wanted to say it out loud as a confirmation, but also to use that as a step of accountability. What has God been speaking to you? Who are you telling this to? See, to me, there is nothing more exciting than someone hearing from God. But there is nothing sadder than someone hearing from God, getting caught up in the feelings and the emotions, but doing nothing with it. Wasted blessings litter the world around us as people spend their time seeking the next word from God and ignore the opportunity they were given with the last word. We must do better. We have to stop seeking that spiritual high and know that obedience in the spiritual low is really does more to hashtag give God for God's glory. Amen. It's our obedience in those low times, obedience to the word that he gave. You know, this New Year's Eve, if you were at the crossover prayers that we did towards the end of the overnight session, I asked everyone to take some time and to ask God to give them a word for 2020. And we had some amazing words that God had given. God gave me a word for 2020, and the word was bless. Not to be blessed and to receive blessings, but to be a blessing. He called me to bless. And he gave me the verse, Zechariah 8, verse 13. And it says, as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, and let your hands be strong. That's from the English Standard Version, which is what I usually use when I study and preach. But I love the way that the New Living Translation also states this verse. It says, among other nations, Judah and Israel became symbols of a cursed nation, but no longer. Now I will rescue you and make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. So don't be afraid. Be strong and get on with rebuilding the temple. God blesses us to be a blessing. That's our spiritual calling. And that's hashtag the strings that are attached. So you know I love a social media challenge, right? You've seen me do these before. I love it when an Ocean church uses that platform of social media to show what God is doing in us and use that to teach or evangelize or bless and encourage the people who watch us on social media. So after the service today, I'm giving you an assignment, okay? I want you to have someone take a photo of you. It cannot be a selfie because you can't do the symbol at the same time that a photo is being taken. So I want you to make a hashtag sign. Let me show you real quick. All right, so I want to see you guys do that real quick. So you can show me a hashtag sign. Good, good. Nice job. So have someone take a picture of you making a hashtag sign, and then I want you to post it on social media and use one of the hashtags that we've talked about today, one of them that maybe God is speaking to you. It might be a push to hashtag seek God, or maybe trust that hashtag God hears. Or it might be commit to hashtag serve God, or give it all hashtag for God's glory. Please remember to tag the Ocean and Dar in these hashtags posts when you post them on social media. And before we go, I want to share one more piece of scripture with you. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. See, there is one gift that comes from God that comes hashtag no strings attached. You can't buy salvation. You can't do enough things to earn salvation. All you can do is accept it. Will there be expectations about how you live after you accept it? Absolutely. But that's all part of that beautiful growth process of living that life of an ever-expanding faith, right? But see, that initial gift of salvation is completely free. No strings attached. Some of you have been struggling for a long time. Some of you have been waiting for something and just don't know what it is. Some of you have this empty place inside of you, and you've been trying to fill it with the things of the world, with people, inappropriate relationships, with money, with alcohol, but you still find yourself feeling empty. See, the thing is, the thing that you've been waiting for, the only thing that will fill that hole of emptiness is Jesus. See, the great thing about salvation is Jesus did the hard part. He died and he rose again so that he could pay your price for your sins. And all you have to do is accept that gift, no strings attached. Church, let's all close our eyes. If that is you today, if you want to accept today that gift of salvation that God is offering, I'm going to ask you, while all the eyes are closed, to lift up your hand today and say, yes, I want you to pray for me today, Pastor Pam. Is there anybody today? Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else want to pray that prayer today? Church, I'm going to ask you all to pray with me today. Dear God, I know I am a sinner. I know I don't deserve the gift of grace. But I know you have already paid the price for my sin. Today I accept you as my Lord and become born again with a new heart for you. Help me to seek you, to trust you, to serve you, and to give you glory with my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, let's celebrate for those who made that decision today. If you made that decision today, please stop by our information point today and let them know. We have a gift for those who raised their hand today. And we also want to encourage you to sign up for ministry we call the Starting Point. Starting Point is a really great next step. So if you're thinking, I don't know what happens next, Starting Point is the place to go next. So church, let me just close in prayer for all of you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each one that's here today. I thank you that over this week, Lord, as they seek you, as they wait to hear from you, as they decide how to best serve you, that in it all, Lord, they give it to you for your glory. Be with each one, Lord Jesus. Help them be a blessing because they have been blessed. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.